Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, in our balance of our time, what I want to do is I want to talk to you from Scripture because I want to encourage your faith, to keep your faith strong, to build you up in the faith so that as you go out, you're going to be able to encourage other people. And on Wednesday night, if you were here at the prayer meeting, we started a series thinking it would be on Wednesday night. Now it's moving to Sunday morning, and it's from Psalm 91, one of the great psalms in all of Scripture. Some think of it as a soldier psalm, as a psalm for the military. It's actually a psalm that was written by, most scholars think, Moses. That Moses wrote, we know he wrote Psalm 90, and many believe he wrote Psalm 90 through Psalm 100, and that these were a reflection of his journey leading the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. So it's what he wanted them to consider as they were making life's journey. You know, the fact of the matter is, as you and I are going through life, there are easy times, there are difficult times, there are trials, and there are triumphs. But life has its challenges, and Psalm 91 reflects that. We've titled this series, I Will Say. Because I think when you're a person of faith and you know the Lord, it influences what you say. That now is the time for believers more than ever to speak words of life, to speak words of faith. I will say, the psalmist says, I will say, the Lord is my help. I will say, the Lord is my rock. I will say, I'm believing God. Paul says, I believed, therefore I spoke. What you think in your heart, you need to express with your lips, and you'll find it will strengthen your faith. And along the way, encourage others, because if you're speaking faith and you're especially speaking the word of God, those aren't your own words, they are his words, and they are sharp, they are powerful, they can encourage people and strengthen people. Well, as we started this series, we started with a message on God is my refuge. It's very, very interesting that as you come to Psalm 91, the first two verses are almost, if you will, a prologue, and it sets the table for what we're going to read. But what he starts with is God. And he gives us in two verses four different names for God. It's very, very interesting. You know, in Western society, we name people based on, you know, popular names or you know, people that we met that we like, and we're like, oh, I'm gonna name my child after them, people you admire. But in the Oriental mindset, in the Mideastern mindset, people would name somebody based on what they saw in them or what they projected they would become. When it comes to the name of God, God's names tell us who he is, and they tell us what he does, which is very, very important, because he's God. How can we know what he's going to do? How can we know who he is? And he's chosen to reveal himself to us through names, and you see it in the Bible. He says to Abraham, you know, up to this point, I haven't revealed myself by this name, but now this is the name. And it gives Abraham insight into who God is and what he does. Furthermore, God, the scripture says, God has exalted, I think it's in Psalm 138, I have exalted above all things my name and my word. It's very interesting, isn't it? His name, he's exalted above everything along with his word. Which means this, there is power in his name. In fact, if you look at these scriptures, our help is in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord has power. And our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 91, verse 14, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him, I will protect him because He knows my name. That when you and I know who God is and we know what he does, it releases God's power into our life. That's what that is saying. It's important for you and I to have this understanding who he is, what he does. And so the psalmist is going to start Psalm 91 saying, here's who God is, here's what he does, and that is designed to lift our hearts and to release his power into our life. Proverbs 18, verse 10, I love this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's like a castle. It's like a refuge. It's like a fortress. And it says this, the righteous man runs into it and is safe. That when you and I, when we put ourselves under the protection of the name of God, there are powerful things that happen to protect us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. This is what the psalm is saying as he starts with the psalm. Let's look at it, verses 1-2. What I've done is I put in highlight the four different names of God with the Hebrew beside them. He who dwells, that is, he who permanently lives. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but you say, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be a person who walks with God. When you do that, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. The word there is Elyon. It means he's the highest. There's no one higher. There's not anything higher. You ever had a problem and you're like, I'd like to talk to the manager. What you're doing is you're trying to go to somebody's higher. And then if you don't like the manager's answer, you say, can I talk to the general manager? And then can I talk to the vice president? What you're doing is you're saying, I want to go to the top. I want to get a ruling from the top. I want to get somebody who can solve this problem. When you go to God, you've gone all the way to the top. There is no one higher. That means he's high over every problem. He's high over every bill. He's high over every conflict. He's high over every disaster. He is high over everything. He's the highest. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, Elyon, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, Shaddai. He is Almighty. That's to say, he has all the might. He has all the power. He is the all-powerful God. He is more powerful than you and I can comprehend. In our own world, in our own life, when you expend power, it's gone. He expends power, never loses one ounce of his power. He is the God who works effortlessly all things, all-powerfully all things. He is Shaddai. He is the Almighty. Now, I want you to think about this because this is very interesting on this particular name. We don't have typically a problem thinking of God being all powerful. You know, like we believe, God can do that. God, there's nothing impossible for him. In a general sense, we pretty much quickly can sign on to that. The issue comes when it's you and I that need the power in our situation. We can believe he's all powerful, we just don't necessarily believe his power is going to be enough to work in our life, right? The idea behind Shaddai is he's powerful enough to do anything. He's personal enough to do it in your life. He's powerful enough to do absolutely anything. He's personal enough to release his power into your life, knowing exactly what you need, knowing exactly where you are, knowing exactly how to minister to you. That is such an amazing encouragement. He is Shaddai. I will say to the Lord, Yahweh, that this is the most common name for God used in the Old Testament, over 6,800 times. Yahweh or Jehovah is the same. The German is Jehovah. And what that word, that name means is Yahweh, rabbis called it the fearsome name. They called it the awesome name. Jewish people will not say that name. It is not said. It is the unspoken name. It is the name. It means God, the ever-present, always eternal, promise-keeping God, that he is always existed. He is always present. He is always right there. Jesus was not the great I was. He was not the great I will be. He is the great I am. He is the ever-present, right there, right what you need, promise-keeping God. So, I will say to the promise-keeping God who's always with me, my refuge. Isn't that great? Right there, right now, he's a refuge and my fortress. He's like a castle. He's a refuge, a place where you're refreshed, a castle, where a place where you're protected. My God, not just Pastor John's God, not just Moses' God, my God, he's your God. He's a personal God. That word God there, maybe the second most used name of God in the Bible, probably 2,500 times, Elohim, is the first name by which we meet God in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God. And 32 times in that chapter, and God did this, and God said this, and what did God do? God spoke, and the heavens and the earth came into existence. He spoke, and out of nothing, he made everything that is. He is the creator God. He is the God who's created all things. He's the God who holds everything together. He's the God who is the God of creation. He can create in your life out of nothing all that you need. He's the God who governs creation. We come to him as Elohim, and we ask him to stop a virus, and that's his department. He knows how to do that. He's the creator God in whom I trust. And when you and I begin to see God as high, and we see him as powerful, and we see him as promise-keeping, and we see him as the creator God, powerful enough to, and the world's come into existence, then that gets us ready to think, wow, this is an amazing God that we're talking about. He's our refuge. And now I want you to show you he's our protection. And it gives us all the ways from verse 3 down to verse 13, all these different ways that this incredible God protects us. What I want you to notice, though, as we talk about protection, and this is a misunderstanding a lot of Christians have regarding protection. A lot of times people have the idea that protection means nothing's ever going to happen. That protection, God protecting us, means we're not going to have any problems. That is not the way life works. We all understand that. And that's not what this scripture says. It doesn't say he will keep you from trouble. He says he will deliver you in trouble. He will deliver you from trouble. That the idea is when problems come, and they will, Jesus said in this world, you'll have trouble. You say, well, then what's the use of being a Christian? Much in every sense. That when you and I, when we're walking with the Lord, the difference between us and somebody who's not walking with the Lord is they're on their own. Whatever they can come up with is all they're going to have. For the believer, you and I have a God who is just what we saw in his name, who he is, what he does. But now we have all of these promises of his protection in trouble, how he comes to us. Look at it, Psalm 91, verse 15. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. In verse 14, it says, because he loves me. When you love God, you have God's ear. When you're walking with God, you got God. His ear, the Bible says, is attentive to the cry of his people. Listen, you love God, he's listening. And when you call on him, he's going to answer. I will be with them in trouble. You're in trouble, you call on God, he's right there. I will rescue and honor them. He's the God who rescues. He's the God who delivers. He's the God who comes to the aid of his people. And now we're going to look at some of those promises of his protection. Let's look at it beginning in verse 3. For he will rescue you from every trap. So a trap would be the things you're not aware of. You don't, somebody else is planning, somebody's trying to do you harm, somebody else is against you, they're working against you. You know what? You could be at work, you could have a coworker who doesn't like you, they're trying to keep you from getting the promotion. They've set a trap. God delivers you. Isn't that good news? You don't have to look out for yourself because he's looking out for you. Isn't that amazing? He'll rescue you from every trap. He'll protect you from, oh, here's a good one, deadly diseases. He'll protect you. Now, again, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be some encounter. And to some degree, some are not going to experience it. Some are going to experience it. But wherever you're at, he's the God who can protect you in trouble from whatever it is you're facing. Isn't that good to know? We don't have to be afraid. He's going to be right with us. He's going to walk. We can be free to minister to people because, and again, now let me just say this. The fact that he's going to protect us doesn't give us the right to be foolish. Okay, so good hand washing's a good thing, right? That's a smart thing. So what we are is we're wise to do what we know, trusting that he'll make up for the balance of what that doesn't take care of, right? So it's not like, well, God's protecting me, so I don't have to wash my hands and I don't have to use any amount of reason or wisdom. You know, a doctor, I had to laugh this week on CNN. He said for the first time in his whole medical career, he said, I was in an airport restroom and men are washing their hands really for the first time ever. Now, ladies, I know you hate to hear that, but I'm just telling you, it is what it is. But men now are getting into the scrub down. So that's a good thing, isn't it? Some of you are looking at me like, why'd you have to say that? So he protects us. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. Now, that doesn't mean God's a chicken or a bird. What he's using is he's using an illustration, and they would be familiar in their agricultural society of what that would look like. And Jesus uses that. He does in Matthew chapter 23, and again in Luke chapter, I think it's approximately the same area around Luke 22 or 23. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. In other words, he will be like this. So when you're looking to God, he's going to protect you and he's going to hover over you. Do you realize that when you love the Lord, you're not alone. You're not on your own. We're not alone in this time and in any other time yet to come, that whatever you encounter, wherever you're at, you're never alone, but you have a God who is hovering. If you love him, he's hovering over you. He's protecting you. He's watching over you. It's such a beautiful picture of his care. Verse 4 goes on to say, his faithful promises are your armor and protection. In other words, as you begin to take the word of God, and it's good for us to familiarize ourselves with scripture. This is not an incantation like some sorcerer's spell, but it is the word of God and there's a power in it. And as you and I pray the word of God, as you and I memorize the word of God, as you and I meditate on the word of God, as you and I say the word of God, what happens is it's like armor. It protects our heart. It protects our mind. It gives us peace in our mind. It gives us faith in our heart. It's armor. And then he protects us. Speak words of faith. Be a person filled with faith that God is there as your protector and covering. Verse 5 says this, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. What's that talking about? It's talking about, you know, you lay down at night, and everything's bigger and everything's worse. And all of a sudden, something that you could have like in the morning dealt with and wouldn't have bothered you, you'd gone on with your day, you'd have thought about it, but you said, well, we're gonna be okay. But now at night, I mean, it's like massive. and you're worked up and you're trying to go to sleep, but it's just your mind is racing on that problem. You say, Pastor, does that happen to you? Sure, it happens to any human being. Say, what do you do? What I do, honestly, is I play the Psalms. I put in my earbuds, I listen to the Word of God, and as I'm listening to the Word of God, the Psalms put me right back to sleep, and I get the peace of God, and I'm feeding my spirit as I'm resting in the presence of the Lord. It sure beats watching some of the foolishness on TV. And hey, some of it's fun, but it's fun and foolish, but it doesn't build your faith, right? So do things. So there, do not be afraid of the terrors of night. You don't have to be afraid of all the things, you know, get all worked up over all these things, and then you're up in the morning, you're like, hey, that I got too worked up over that. Verse 5, read on, it says this, do not be afraid of the terrors of night or the arrow that flies in the day. So there are things that can happen during the day. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the things we fear at night. We don't have to worry about if something happens during the day. He's going to do what? He's going to protect us. Verse 6. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness. What do we mean by in the dark? You know, the darkness, you can't see, it's hidden. You don't, there are a lot of things we don't know about, whether it's this disease or others. But guess what? We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to dread it. Some of you are dreading, you're afraid. You don't have to do that. God is taking care of you. And people across the country are praying. And we don't have to be afraid. The disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes out in the open, the disaster during the day. Listen, what we're seeing right now is not the last disaster of our lifetimes. There are going to be other things that happen. We don't know what they are, but we know the God who holds the future. We know the God who is with us. We know the God who is watching over us. I'm just simply saying we need to have faith to believe that our life is in His hands, that God cares deeply about us, that God watches over us, that God is involved, that God's power is at work in our life. We need to rest in that and celebrate that. Look at it in verse 7. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. I mean, that isn't amazing. And this is part of why it's called the warrior's prayer in Scripture. Because imagine you're in a situation where 1,000 go down there and 10,000 over there. And you're like, well, that's a tough situation. You know, sometimes, well, all those people got it, or all this happened to, listen, you and God. Don't be worrying about all, you know, we pray for all the people, but don't let what happens to other people cause you to develop fear in your life. You are special to God beyond what you imagine. And God cares for you and knows about you more than you can comprehend. He's numbered the hair on your head. I mean, imagine, you don't even care that much. Nobody's counting their hair. Nobody's like, oh, there's number 10,459 out. Nobody does that. You don't care. He cares about things in your life you don't even care about, that you don't even know how to care, that you wouldn't even have the capacity to care about, He cares about. If He cares about that kind of thing, if He knows that kind of thing, then isn't He going to take care of the big things that really concern us? And He's able to deliver us. And this psalm, I mean, you know, there are stories. In fact, I had a mother of a soldier serving in Afghanistan this week. She woke up in the middle of the night. She said, it was so great to hear you talk about Psalm 91. I felt a burden to pray for my son and his unit. And I prayed that scripture over them, that God would watch over them. And the next day he called and she recited the whole story. I was like, wow. She said, wow, it's so true. Listen, God watches over His people. When you and I pray, He's at work. When you and I believe Him, He's watching over us. Verses 9 through 10, if you make the Lord, That's Yahweh, the eternal promise-keeping God, your refuge. In other words, you say, you know what? And let me just say this. I've got a lot of friends who are medical professionals, and I'm thankful for them, and they're helpful. They're not my refuge. There's no person who can be your refuge, no human being, except God. Jesus can be your refuge. He's the God-man. But any other person's going to fail you. But if you make God your refuge, if you make the Most High the highest one, the one as high as everything, your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Because God's over everything, and God's a promise keeper, and He's going to be with you. No plague, you could understand that as harm, will come near your home. Now that's a very strong statement. You say, well, how could that be possible? Because I know some of you are thinking, well, I don't know how that really works. Let me tell you how it works. God sends angels, and His angels are watching over you. He's got angels that are taking care of you. Look at it in verse 11. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. You know, we talked about angelic beings a couple months ago, 3 or 4 months ago. It's fascinating, wasn't it? Very encouraging. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I mean, angels are watching over you. Angels are protecting you. Angels are strengthening you. Angels are ministering to you. When you and you're never seeing it, 99.9% of the time. God may open your eyes to angelic intervention. But by and large, you're not aware of all this that is happening. You say, how can He make those promises? How does He complete those things? Because He's got angels watching over you. And they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. The idea is, as you're walking along, the steps of a righteous person are what? They're ordered of the Lord, and He delights in every detail of their lives. Psalm 27 and 23 says, and how does that work? Well, angels are guiding you. They're walking with you. They're working in your situation. They're taking care of you. Such an encouragement. You're not alone. You're not on your own. We have a God who delights in us, who cares about us, and who sends His angelic beings to help us. I read that, I can't help but think of Psalm chapter 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. I mean, He's all around. It says in the Message, God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. So you can just know this, that there are angelic beings that are around you protecting you. Debbie and I take that seriously. We pray over our houses. We pray when we move into a place, Lord, put an angel at the door. We pray over every room. We pray God's protection, and we believe it. We believe that there are angels that are watching over. What a comfort in the times when I've been gone. Debbie says, I just know those angels. I just know they're there. His angels watching over us. And they'll protect you. Psalm 91 and verse 13. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. Now, that's not suggesting that you go over to the zoo and jump in the lion's place and say, I'm going to test out Psalm 91 and verse. See, that's what Satan wanted Jesus to do. If you'll read the temptation of Jesus, you'll find He was quoting these verses, saying, you ought to do this. You ought to jump off the pinnacle of the temple because it says the angels will. And Jesus said, time out, Satan. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But at the same time, the fact of the matter is that God is watching over you, protecting you from danger. And we see this in the life of Jesus in Mark, just quickly in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12. The Spirit immediately drove Him into the wilderness. So He's out. This is the 40 days of fasting. He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals. This is very interesting. Only Mark mentions this. He's with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Those two phrases, juxtaposition. There are wild animals. You know, he's out there fasting without food. He's trying to pray. And Satan's like, I am going to do everything I can to disrupt this, and I'm going to send whatever kind of, there's lions, there's poisonous snakes. I'm going to send them to attack him. And the angels are like, hey, we're going to take care of Jesus. And you know what? The angels are going to take care of you. Amen. They're going to take care of you. God is going to take care of you. This is why we want to speak words of life and faith. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27 talks about that. Back to Psalm 91 and verse 14 and these others, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. Who trust in who God is and what God does. When you're trusting in who God is and what he does, he says, I'm going to protect you and I'm going to rescue you. Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord. In who God is and what he does, that's where our help is, right? The name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. You run to who God is. You run to what he does. The righteous man runs to it and is safe. You know, as we come to the close of the service, if you're a regular at James River, you know that for several years now, we've done this blessing It's been very interesting to watch God work through that. Honestly, for about a year, there's a story about why I would have done this. God just really had to work in my heart because I felt like the Lord was saying, I want you to say this over the people. And I was like, and for a variety of reasons. There were reasons behind it. And finally, I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. And it's been very interesting to watch the Lord set his hand on you. In a really fantastic way. That blessing, it's found in Numbers chapter 6. And in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22, then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, so those are the religious leaders, to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. So it's a blessing that's said with this in mind, that God is telling me to bless you with this blessing. And in verse 27, God says, here's what happens when they do it. So shall they put my name on the people of Israel, and I'll bless them. That when that's said over you, something happens. That who God is and what he does covers you, rests upon you. And I don't think really outside of heaven we'll ever really know exactly what that does, but I know he's doing something. The blessing in the NIV is put this way, and so you hear it at times like this, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And that's really probably closer to the original Hebrew, but because that's not as clear for people, it seems repetitive and how does that work? And it's really not in the Hebrew. We use the New Living Translation that says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. When that's said over you, God sets his name on you. You leave here with his name on you. So it's a very, very thrilling thing for me to think that is happening on any given Sunday.